You're listening to More Perfect Marketing, the show for business owners and entrepreneurs always on the lookout for smart marketing ideas to keep their business moving forward. And now, here's your host, David Baer.
Well, hello, you're listening to another episode of More Perfect Marketing. My name is David Baer, and today I have the sincere pleasure of welcoming Eli Delaney, who, at least for now, is my neighbor here in the Portland, Oregon area. So Eli is what I would affectionately call a follow-up fanatic. He is all about helping folks stay in line and stay focused on whatever that offer is that initially is dangling in front of them, and ultimately building on that relationship. We'll talk a lot more about what that means in just a moment. But first, let me also share that he is the co-founder of Purple Knight Marketing, which teaches entrepreneurs how to go from surviving to thriving in any economy through the art and science of building strong relationships and follow up for life. And when I say follow up for life, hey, Eli, how long is that follow up email sequence that you've been working on now?
My big claim to fame is my follow up sequence that runs for over 3 years. 100% evergreen, 100% automated. So my running joke is I could literally go outside and get hit by a bus today. I'm still going to sell you stuff for 3 more years.
Love that. Let's take a step back and talk a little bit about what it is that you're actually talking about here with this follow-up email sequence. So why don't we first talk a little bit about the concept and importance of follow-up?
Okay. Yeah. So here's the thing is that we meet people at whether it be live events when we're actually able to do that or virtual events like one that you and I attended just a few weeks ago. You're speaking on stage and afterwards you have what, from the speaker standpoint, we like to call it the petting zoo where everybody wants to come up and talk to you after your presentation. all of that kind of stuff. You are meeting people. You're connecting with people. A certain number of people are going to say, I'm interested in what you have. How do I sign up right in here? But the mass majority of them are not going to be there yet. And it doesn't matter what the reason is. Maybe the reason is that they're just not ready yet. Maybe they don't see the value in it quite yet. Maybe they're not in that spot for their position. Maybe they truly don't have the money today, but you never know when that's going to change. And it is about playing the long game. So, you know, it's a great example of this. I have clients from my previous company, which was Web and Graphic Design Agency. I started it over 25 years ago. And I have clients today that were some of my first clients then. I stopped building websites over a decade ago, yet these people still stick with me. They're still loyal. They stick with me for the fact that I have always built the relationship to where I stay in touch with them, know that I'm there to provide a service. I'm there to help them out anytime that they need it. And because of that, it creates a loyalty that will last a lifetime.
It's beautiful. So we talk in our business a lot about short-term follow-up or nurture and long-term follow-up or nurture.
Yeah.
Can you give us a sense of what the distinction is between the two types of follow-up that people should be focusing on in their business?
Yeah. So most people think about the short-term follow-up is let's say I work with a lot of speakers. So I'll use that as an example. As a speaker, a lot of times you'll do a opt-in from stage. I'm going to give you a free guide, a free checklist, one of my books or something like that. And that can be go to an opt-in page or text, you know, a certain number and you get the, you know, get all the information. The short term would be, okay, now that you signed up, here's the thing. And most importantly, and a lot of people miss this, is here's what you need to know about the thing. This is why you should read the book, or this is why you should watch the 3 minutes and 52 seconds into the video. I talk about this thing. Now that's critical because first and foremost, a lot of people miss the boat and they say, here's the thing. Oh, by the way, buy my stuff. Mm-hmm. But most people they haven't consumed the thing yet. And you're trying to get them to get something else and give you money for that something else. They're not there yet. So the short term is get them to consume the thing and then build them into, okay, I showed you how awesome I am and how I can help you. let's talk about the next step. That's where that goes. Now, that's all short-term stuff. The long-term is what happens next. And here's the thing that will make a huge difference. It's not about pitching all the time. You know, there's some great marketers out there that think you should make an offer every day. I don't disagree with it, but I think the terminology of offer needs to be shifted a little bit. An offer could be your products, your services, the special you have going on right now. But if you do that all the time, you look like one of those guys in Times Square that tries to sell you a watch every 30 seconds. Or if you've ever gone to the fair, you go down, you know, the carnival barkers going down trying to get you to give them their money so they can sell you to play a game you're never going to win. Mm-hmm. That's not what you want. So it could be the offer, or the making an offer could be just a simple, here's a book that I recommend. This is why I think it's so powerful, and I think you might find it useful. Reply back and let me know what you think.
So it's really not an offer as much as asking people to do something.
Yeah, just take an action. Just take an action. Okay. And because by doing that, what you're doing is, first and foremost, you're adding value. You're sharing something that's going to help them be better, help them succeed better, whether it be reading a book, watching a video, listening to a podcast, any of that kind of stuff. And there's a ton of different things. We actually have a very specific methodology that I use with this that's very strategic. But these kind of things that I'm talking about, sharing that and mixing your offers, your products into some of these things makes a big difference, because then people see, you know, okay, this David, he's sharing all this stuff with me all the time. That book that he recommended totally changed my life. I mean, I literally had that happen. I actually had somebody reply back to one of my emails. And I'm sure you've read this book, The Greatest Salesman in the World by Og Mandino.
Yep.
Okay. So anybody who hasn't watched or read that book, go pick it up. It's easy. It's short. You can read it in a couple hours. It's a story, like fable type of thing. But the lesson is how to build better relationships, quite honestly.
Yeah.
And I shared that story just like I did with you, only in an email. And I said, I would love for you to read it, pick it up, read it, and then reply back. Let me know what you think. She ended up, this one person, she'd been on my list for easily 10 years. She replies back and she goes, "Hey, Eli, I want to thank you so much. I've picked up the book, but by your recommendation, I've been struggling a lot in my business. I've been like pretty much ready to throw in the towel. And I decided this weekend, your email was perfect timing. So I bought the book. I read it over the weekend and it's totally changed my entire attitude. I'm ready to rock and roll. You just saved my business."
Oh, that's awesome.
That was so cool. I mean, that feeling that I got from that. Yeah. And that was, she took action. But here's the fun thing. This is where the magic comes in. I wrote that email 6 years prior. She just happened to be in the sequence at that spot and got it at that time. Does it make it any less relevant? No. Did it help her get revitalized for her business any less? Obviously not. So is it still just as powerful as the day that I wrote it? Definitely. That's the kind of stuff we're talking about.
And I think this is, you know, we often, you and I are exposed to these concepts in the online marketing, internet marketing world, where, you know, people often have another product coming up, another mm-hmm. launch, another. But this is just as practical for the folks that I work with, which is, you know, professional services folks, attorneys and financial advisors. Mostly they're scratching their head going, well, what the heck do I send emails out about? Or what do I... We should talk about other forms of follow-up besides email, but what do I say to people? Because once I either have them come in for the appointment and they agree to work with me, right? There's nothing else I can sell them on or tell them to do.
Right. Well, and here's the fun thing about this is the cool thing is both prospects and clients. So the two sides are the people that you're communicating with. You can still share the same kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. The big difference is that those in-between messages of, you know, okay, A, I would love to have you become a client. Let's book a call to talk. Or somebody's already a client. What would be the next step? Or how do they consume what you've given them even better? Those are the things. But all the other stuff that I'm talking about is the same thing. And the great thing is you have unlimited content capabilities, because it doesn't have to be yours. Like I just shared the book of The Greatest Salesman in the World. I love sharing books because it's such an easy thing. And I always pick short, easy reads. They're something you can read in a couple hours. A lot of times they're fables and they'll have a very precise message. And I work mostly with B2B. So any of the books that I recommend are going to be business oriented books. On a personal level, you look at different things, but you'll look at how can I add value to someone's life. And it's not necessarily your products or services. It could be just simply saying, what do you need help with right now? I'm connected to a lot of people and I'd be happy to give you a referral if there's somebody that I know that can help you with what you need. I cannot count the number of times that's happened where I've sent that out and people come back and says, you know what, actually what I really need right now is I might, you know, maybe they say I need a web designer. Or I need somebody who can help me with this attorney stuff that I've been trying to deal with my taxes. Well, I know people that were there. So now I make that connection. Now that person that asked is appreciative of that. They're going to remember me. The person I referred out also is going to remember me. And both of those people are going to come back to me when they need help with their follow-up systems because of that. Now, did I get anything out of it on the front end? No. Other than the goodwill, which to me is very, very valuable. That's one of the most valuable things you can have. Good karma is best.
Yeah.
But down the road, when they are ready, they will never forget about me. I actually had somebody back in the web design world. I knew her over a decade before she came to me and asked me to quote her on doing a website. And I asked her, I was like, why now? And she said, well, we're part of this franchise is starting to do some stupid things. We're considering breaking off and doing our own thing, which means we need to have our own website. I'm like, okay, why me? And she goes, Eli, you've been around for I've known you for 10 years. Anytime somebody has a question, you always have an answer. And if you don't have an answer, you find somebody who does. You're just the most helpful person I've ever met. So yeah, I'm going to use you. That was pretty cool. I mean, it's a good feeling to have that. And if you can become that person for your world and the people that you work with, both clients, you know, both clients and people, I mean, people you just meet on the street. I mean, I've done business in the drive-through Starbucks before. You know, I literally have.
Like with the person at the window?
Yeah. They became a client. they were talking about starting a business and I gave them a couple of pointers. Next thing I know, they bought one of my books.
Oh, sweet. Yeah. So I want to talk a little bit about the types of things that you're sending out because some are very instructive and you might be pointing somebody to a solution to a problem that you know they're likely to encounter.
Yes.
And the reason is because A, you know who they are, right? You not necessarily by you know their name and the individual, but you understand who's going to be getting onto your email list and who isn't.
Yes.
Right. So that's important. But the other thing is the tone that you at least are describing here that you use when you communicate. Can you talk a little bit about that?
The tone is everything. And I'll say something. I love saying this. And I heard this from somebody else originally, and I apologize. I cannot give them credit because I always try to give credit where credit is due, but I just don't remember who it was. It's not about the technology. It's about the psychology. So it doesn't matter what software you're using, what modes, like whether it be email or texting or Facebook Messenger or whatever, the psychology is the difference. And when we talk about psychology, we're talking about the language. You notice that everything that I just said is like, you know, hey, David, here's a cool book that I recommend. I thought it was really awesome. I thought you might find some value in it too. Yeah. It's very one-to-one. It's about a conversation that you and I are having. And I have something that I wanted to share with you because I'm excited about it. When you come at a communication of any sort with that feeling, with that attitude behind it, people feel it and they feel like you're more genuine. Which is great because in today's world, there's sadly people are very skeptical and it's with reason because a lot of people, they are literally about the money. And one of the things I like to say is don't stop treating your customers like transactions. They're not transactions, they're people. And there's a few choice words that go into that mix, but I won't say it for your show. But you know, and that's a big thing too, is I tell people, don't talk about customers. You don't have customers. Walmart has customers. You have clients. And I don't care what kind of business you have clients, and clients come to you because of your expertise, your guidance, your mentorship, and your protection. And when you treat people like that, first and foremost, you treat them better. And then in return, they see that they become more loyal. And you can also charge more because of that same situation. They value you more because they know you care about them. You care about their success. And you are there as a protector, as a guide, as a mentor for them. Even if they're buying a widget, they're there for your expertise as to which widget to buy, not just selling a widget.
So I want to go back to what you just said about customers versus clients.
Yes.
Can you dig a little deeper into why you're making that distinction and what one means to you versus the other?
I'll go back. I'll re-explain the customers are transactional. Walmart has customers. There's no loyalty in that. I give you money, you give me widget. That's it. That's all there is to it. There is no loyalty. If somebody comes along and their widget's cheaper, I'm going to go to them. Plain and simple. Where clients, on the other hand, when you treat people like a client instead of a customer, and you refer to them that way, subconsciously, your brain starts giving them more value and you start doing more and you start treating them separately. It's kind of like it, when you go to, I would portray this to, do we go to Sizzler, where it's basically you show up, you pay your bill, you eat your food, you leave. Most of the time, nobody really cares.
I didn't know they were still in business. So
there are a few of them. We don't have any in here anymore, okay. Which sucks because I won't be wrong. I actually like Sizzler. But you compare that to, say, a high-end steakhouse. And for some reason, it's really sad because I know several of them and all of a sudden they went out of my head. But a high-end steakhouse, everything from the waiter, they're going to treat you from the time you walk in the door. They treat you like royalty as you go through the experience. Mm-hmm. The manager is going to come out and ask you, how was your meal? Did the staff take care of you? They treat you differently. And therefore, you respect them more and you pay for it. And most of the time, you happily pay for it. You know, I mean, I've been to steakhouses where I've spent, $7 on a steak, and I've been to steakhouses where I've spent $60-$70 on a steak. And I'll tell you what, the experience is night and day different. We're not even talking about the food. We're talking about the experience. Mm-hmm. And when you do that, I don't care what kind of product or service you have, treat people like clients. That royalty mentality will get you the loyalty you're looking for.
Oh, I love the imagery of that. And I'm thinking about that famous, what is the place called? Morton's Steakhouse story, uh-huh. where they, they met the guy at the airport and so there's that both experience and also the relationship with their clientele or their patrons, right? That really makes a difference.
Exactly. And the great thing is, and I'm not saying you even have to have an expensive place to do this. You know, there's a great example is that for over a year, I flew to Miami for an event that I was speaking at every month. The host had me come back every single month to speak, and he had a new group of people, and it was a great relationship. But I always took a group of people out to this one restaurant. It was in the, on the water mall. It wasn't overly expensive. The food was inexpensive. They had amazing mojitos, but it's outside, beautiful, but it was just a mall restaurant. I mean, yeah. Think of going to the food court. But the cool thing about it was that next level up. And the waitress that we had, her name is Noor. I still remember her. I always made sure that she was our waitress every time because she treated us like gold. And even though this place was not a high-end restaurant, I took 10 or 15 people there every single month for a year. And I tell you what, they made a decent amount of money off of us. And she got amazing tips from us because she treated us well, that she treated us like a client, not just a customer.
As I'm listening to you talk about this, I'm thinking that this is exactly what you're doing in your emails.
Yes.
This is exactly what you're doing in the follow-up. Mm-hmm. And I want to get back to a point that I sort of offhandedly made earlier, which is beyond email, there's other ways to follow up. Can you talk a little bit about some of the other things that people can be doing for their business to follow up beyond simply sending emails out on a, you know,
your schedule? Yeah. So, you know, first and foremost, I am an email guy. I love emails. It is still, I have 100% control over it. I can write my story the way I want to. I can have a really good conversation. But yes, we have other things, but let's touch on, like, say, texting. Okay. One thing that people have done with texting is that they use it as a communication tool. And we have to remember, we are here to communicate with people. If you want to get loyal clients, you communicate with them. You don't pitch them all the time. And so one of the best things that I like, instead of trying to put all the details of the next thing that you want people to pay attention to in a text message, send a message, say, hey, I just sent you an email about 10 minutes ago. Can you check and make sure you got it? And I mean, how simple is this, right? Yeah. I mean, just crazy, stupid, simple. But by doing that, what ends up happening is now you've removed the sales pitch from the mental state of the conversation. And the person says, oh, wait a minute, Eli just sent me a message. Okay, I need to check this. And let me check that email real quick. They go and they check. Now, if they got it, they're going to let me know they got it. Well, guess what? Because they got it, they opened up the email and they've now read it. If they didn't get it, I can say, here's basically what it said, or here's, you know, there was a link of something in it. We got to figure out why you didn't get my email, but this will get you going anyway. It's a conversation.
Yeah. And again, the tone, the way that you're phrasing all of that is so informal.
Yeah.
That it feels like it's their friend sending that message.
And that's what you want. Every communication, I don't care what kind it is. One of the things that you will see, and I'm sure everybody listening to this has gotten at least 15 of these over the years, if not last month, which is dear first name, because somebody's mail merge didn't work right. Okay, that doesn't work. That immediately screams newsletter or blast email. If you have these fancy headers on the top, it's going to do the same thing. You'll notice anything from me. It could be a text message. It could be a voice message. It could be a video. It could be a Facebook message. No matter what kind of communication I have, it generally starts with, hey there. And this is the same kind of conversation somebody has. If I see somebody and I walk up to them like, hey there, how's it going? It's good to see you. Because it's personal. It's a relationship. It's a conversation, dialogue, not monologue.
Yeah, I just pulled up one of your emails, and you do what I do as well, which is I don't use their first name. In fact, on a lot of forms, I don't even collect their first name, because if I were to pull up an email from my wife or my brother or a friend, they're not writing my first name at the top of the email.
Right. Yeah. If they're writing, I mean, if it's from your brother, they're probably writing something and it's not your name. Yeah. Right. But, you know, and here's the thing. And I do collect, if I have anything where somebody opts in or buys or anything, I always collect their first and last name, because again, I want to be able to have that conversation. So when I want to be able to get to the point where I could pick up the phone and call them if I wanted to. And if I don't have their name, I can't do that.
Yeah.
So I still want their name. I just may not use it in the emails. But I always collect it anyway, because I'm a big advocate for whatever mail system you use, or, you know, whatever software platform you're using, it needs to have a full CRM functionality, because I want to be able to pull up a person and say, okay, I know we met here, we talked about this, we had these conversations. And that's where, as human beings, we forget stuff. That is our nature. Okay. We're never going to remember everything, but if I can put it into a system, a piece of software that stores that information for me, when I go to my next conversation, whether that be an email, a text, a face-to-face conversation, a phone call, Zoom call, whatever it is, I can pull up that information and go, okay, this is what we talked about. This is where we've met. Here's what I know about them right now. I can have a better conversation with them based on that. And I don't have to rely on my brain, which is, let's face it, it's going to fail you at some time.
Yeah. Speaking of which, my brain almost failed me, because we are pretty much out of time. I want to make sure that two things happen, that folks have a better understanding of what it is that you do and provide. You just talked about CRM I was going to say customer relationship manager, but no, it's a client manager.
Good man.
So that enters into some of the work that you do on behalf of your clients.
Yeah.
And then also, if people want to learn more about how they can work with you or learn more from you, where they can get in touch with you. You want to go through that quickly before we wrap up?
Yeah. So first and foremost, we help people put systems in place to do this. We all have the technology. Most of us are paying for it. You like to say, you know, I've been a user of XYZ software for a while. Well, no, actually, I've been just paying them for the last 3 years. I don't know that I've actually used it. We help fix that problem. My big thing is the ultimate follow-up. We talked about my 3-year campaign. I help my clients build a 12 to 15 month version of that. Mm-hmm. And once they know the strategy, the psychology behind it and how it works, they can just keep adding to it and it can work as long as they want. Yeah. That's one piece of what I do. There's a lot bigger picture than that, but that's a good piece of it. And if anyone wants to connect with me, and I am like, if you're watching this on the video standpoint, right above my head, it says meet cool people. I love meeting cool people. I would love to chat with you. It's very simple. It's not a sales pitch. I want to get to know you. I want to see how I can help you. If it happens to be my products, cool. If not, I'm going to point you to wherever I can help you with one way or another. Because I just love having cool conversations with people. Easiest way to do that, connectwitheli.com. And it's E-L-Y, connectwitheli.com. You'll find all my social media sites. I have some downloads and all that stuff, but it's a hub. But if you just scroll down to the bottom of the page, like on this first page, go there on your phone, download to the bottom, you're going to see, let's chat. Real simple. Book a call with me. Tell me. Very important. Tell me you heard me on this show. That way I know who you are and why we're talking. And I just want to talk to you, get to know you and see how can I help you? Because I love doing it. It's just a lot of fun.
I know that you love doing it. It's evident in the way that you talk about it. I watched over the past year you having conversations with cool people on Facebook that you broadcast, mm-hmm. and you are a genuine giver and helper. And I'm so appreciative to know you. So thank you so much, Eli Delaney, for coming and joining me here. And I really appreciate the opportunity to chat with you a little bit about following up, building relationships, and I know that there's tons more that I'll have the opportunity to learn from you.
Yeah, well, thank you, David. It's my pleasure. I love this kind of stuff, and any chance to get to hang out with you for a bit, it's always a good time.
Awesome. Well, thanks so much, and thank you for listening to another episode of More Perfect Marketing. We'll see you back here real soon. Take care.
You have been listening to More Perfect Marketing. For a collection of 26 smart marketing cheat sheets to help you master your marketing, please visit getdavidsgift.com. That's getdavidsgift.com. Once again, thanks for listening to More Perfect Marketing.